The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. A U.S. military ship left Virginia this weekend for the Mediterranean. It has equipment to build a temporary pier in Gaza to deliver humanitarian supplies to hungry and wounded Palestinians.
This aid is much needed in Gaza. The UN in particular has warned that around a quarter of the civilian population there, that's more than 500,000 people, are facing imminent famine. Meanwhile, there's another ship that is on its way to Gaza too. This is an aid ship loaded with around 200 tons worth of food that is still waiting at the moment to set sail from Cyprus.
That report from the BBC's Anna Foster. Georgia holds its presidential primary on Tuesday, and both President Biden and former President Trump held rallies in the Peach State yesterday, dueling rallies. This is SRN News.
Mark Levin sees yet another power grab.
This is an attack on the First Amendment. This is an attack on our electoral system. What you're seeing here, Jack Smith, at the behest of Merrick Garland, are seizing the electoral power from the American people in Congress for themselves. They are seizing the power to decide what will and will not fly in elections.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 8 on AM 1280, The Patriot, Intelligent Radio.
Inside your 1 o'clock hour this Sunday afternoon here on AM 1280, The Patriot. That means you're moments away from the closer edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network with Brad Carlson. But first, a quick look at your Sunday forecast. Sunny, high around 50 degrees this afternoon, while tonight's low dips down to mid-30s and clear skies throughout your overnight. Tomorrow for your Monday, sunny, high in the mid-60s, and Tuesday, partly sunny with a high around 64 degrees. You're listening to AM 1280 The Patriot. Stay tuned. Brad Carlson with the Northern Alliance Radio Network coming up.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
AM 1280 The Patriot. It is the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with another edition of the broadcast we like to call a closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here to take your phone calls, 651-289-4488. If you'd like to weigh in via Twitter, feel free to do so. Just use hashtag NARNshow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show. Hashtag NARN show for any comments or questions. And as always, we thank you for tuning in. And hey, don't forget our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page. Yeah, just go to Facebook, do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network and give our page a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. And feel free to follow along on the live stream. Yeah, we have a live stream of the broadcast up and running where Brent from St. Paul is already checking in. Thanks, Brent. Thanks for coming along with us as we'll be on the airwaves for the next couple of hours here. I want to talk some local stuff here in the first hour, and then we'll get to some guests in the second hour, but get guest-intensive second hour, so you definitely want to stay tuned for that. But do want to talk some local issues in the first hour. Hey, you remember when the Minnesota legislative session was being previewed by political journalists and political commentators and whatnot, and kind of the prevailing sentiment was, well, this session's not going to be quite as intensive as last year, you know, because last year they,
you know, I called it the buffet of lunacy, where they basically passed abortion up until birth and made Minnesota an LGBTQ sanctuary state, whereas if a pre-adult kid wanted to flee their parents in Iowa to get trans-affirming care in Minnesota, the parent didn't have word one to say about it, and they legalized weed and passed some gun control bills, and oh yeah, the most bloated budget in the history of the state of Minnesota. You know, it's like, well, it's going to be a little less intensive. You remember how that was kind of being bandied about? Yeah, it's not going to be quite as intensive as 2023. Good times, right? Well, Rob Dorr, friend of the broadcast and the Senior Vice President, Government Affairs with the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, one of the very few political causes where I donate to regularly. In fact, right now I'd say it's the only political cause I donate to regularly, the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus. Check them out, gunowners.mn. When Rob Dorr posts a video on the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus Facebook page and then their other social media platforms and says that House File 3672 is the most egregious and extreme gun control bill he has seen in more than a decade he's been going down to the Capitol. I don't know about you, but as a gun owner, that grabs my attention. So Rob put out a great explainer. Again, you can go to Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus Facebook page. The video is up, and you can listen to Rob kind of detail what would happen if this bill passes. Again, it's House File 3672. And essentially, what this bill looks to do is to give jurisdiction or local jurisdictions, i.e., city councils or county boards, the ability to draft their own gun laws. Now, the way Rob explained it is, you know, I would venture to say that the St. Paul City Council or Ramsey County Board would probably desire to pass some pretty strict gun control statutes. And I dare say that what they would pass would be dramatically different from what you would see, oh, I don't know, say up in Cook County, or, you know, go out west to Stearns and Pope County, that sort of thing, you know, where you get the outstate parts of Minnesota. They're a little more friendly toward the law-abiding gun owner, where Hennepin and Ramsey County, quite hostile to gun owners. But the way state statute is written, that whatever the state law is in Minnesota, and right now it's a shall issue state, whereas if you apply for a permit to carry, you have to pass a background. Well, first of all, you have to take a permit to carry class, which I did. And once I got the certificate saying I completed the permit to carry class, I bring it to my local jurisdiction, in this case, Anoka County, apply for my permit to carry. And as long as I pass a background check, they give me my permit to carry. And that gives me the authorization to then go to my local firearm store and purchase a firearm, and where once again I have to pass a background check as well as present my permit to carry before I can buy a firearm. And that's universal law around the state. Now, I imagine Ramsey County, they or Hennepin County, particularly St. Paul, Minneapolis, say the Minneapolis City Council, St. Paul City Council, would probably desire to just have an outright ban on handguns altogether, but state law preempts whatever desires they may have. So I say all this to say that House File 3672 would basically eliminate that preemption. 3672, I'll read part of the subsections here. The legislature preempts all authority of a home rule charter or statutory city, including a city of the first class, county, town, municipal corporation, or other governmental subdivision, or any of their instrumentalities to regulate firearms, ammunition, or their respective components, to the complete exclusion of any order, ordinance, or regulation by them, except that a governmental subdivision may regulate the discharge of firearms, and b, a governmental subdivision may adopt regulations identical to state law. Local regulation inconsistent with this section is void. So basically they're saying that they're getting rid of the state preemption, where state law would preempt the desires of any county board or city council. So in essence, what you could see if this were to pass, this legislation, is if you're driving through Hennepin County or Ramsey County and you happen to have your concealed firearm, you know, concealed safely, you're a law-abiding citizen, and it's discovered that you're carrying your firearm and it violates, you know, let's just throw out an arbitrary number. Let's say the city of St. Paul, they institute, oh, I don't know, a limit on rounds in your magazine, you know, like a handgun, one of the handguns I own, allegedly, has a 15, you know, it's 15 round mag. And let's say they put a limit to, say, I don't know, 9 rounds. Let's just throw out an arbitrary number. Well, say I'm going to visit, you know, my mom lives right in the city of St. Paul. I live in Anoka County, very, you know, firearm-friendly part of the state to the law-abiding citizen. Well, if I'm going to visit my mom in St. Paul, it's I'm not going to be able to, you know, avoid, obviously, the city of St. Paul since she lives there. And if I want to conceal my firearm and have a 15-round magazine in there, well, let's say, you know, oh, I'm getting a little low on gas, better stop at the gas station, and a gust of wind kind of blows my suit jacket up, and all of a sudden my firearm is revealed. All of a sudden, I'm breaking the law, even though literally less than an hour earlier, I was completely compliant with the law in Anoka County, whereas I'm flying where basically I'm flying in the face of whatever St. Paul might pass. So this is just absolute insanity. And, you know, Rob did a great explainer at the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus Facebook page. You post the video. I think it's on multiple platforms. I think it was also on Twitter and their YouTube page or whatever. But, yeah, definitely go check it out. Rob is great at what he does. And whenever I listen to one of his monologues, I learn a ton. And really, he was getting a lot of pushback on this. Says, well, wow, come on, that's a Second Amendment violation. And yeah, absolutely it is. But this is what I was saying last year. You know, last year, a lot of the legislation passed, or at least some of the legislation that was passed was legally dubious, to say the least. And there have been some pieces of legislation that are being subject to lawsuits currently, you know, and it's still in process. And I remember saying last year, as a lot of these lawsuits were coming about, that the DFL trifecta down in St. Paul probably had an inkling that a lot of the legislation they were passing was going to be subject to lawsuits. And their mindset was, well, this might be brought up for a law. They may drag us into court over this or that or the other thing, but they can't sue us for everything. And even if they try, they're going to be so focused on trying to overturn these laws, and meanwhile, they're allowed to be instituted and enacted, and they don't have the kind of financial resources probably to drag these all the way to, say, the U.S. Supreme Court. And if they ultimately do, well, that'll be years down the road, so we really don't have to worry about it now. So their mindset is they can't sue us for everything. And it's a situation here. It's pretty cut and dried that if, say, the city of St. Paul or city of Minneapolis tries to pass an outright handgun ban, and let's be honest, that isn't a stretch of the imagination if indeed this House File 3672 ultimately passes. That's not a big stretch at all. Well, that is an egregious violation of the Second Amendment, but the onus then has to be on the law-abiding gun owners to take it to court and argue the constitutionality of it. And, of course, ultimately, the gun owners would likely prevail. But how many hundreds of thousands of dollars and how much time and other resources would that take in order to get those rights reinstituted? Is it worth it? Oh, absolutely it's worth it. eternal vigilance and all that. Yeah, absolutely. But this is a message to the voters of Minnesota. If somehow this law is able to be shot down and doesn't get through, remember this at the ballot box this November. Only the Minnesota House is up. So really, if you want a stopgap in 2025 and 2026 against more DFL lunacy, the House has to be turned back to Republican hands. That's the only way. And it's going to take flip of, my math is correct, four seats. I mean, three seats would give you a stalemate, 67-67. Then you better hope all 67 Republicans, you know, stay unified. But if you want a buffer, yeah, you better flip at least four seats to give you an outright majority and maybe more. So for all the times we're constantly told by these DFLers, you know, condescendingly, no one's coming for your guns, this very clearly indicates that they're coming for your guns. And Rob makes another point. It's like, you know, he's been able to establish relationships with obviously all the pro-gun Republicans, as well as some anti-gun DFLers who are in vulnerable districts that may say, you know, I'm down for some gun regulations, but this might be a bridge too far. But if this gets to a point where local jurisdictions have to or have the ability to pass whatever gun law they desire, there is no way you're going to develop any kind of rapport with, I mean, there's 87 counties in Minnesota, so how many county boards do you have to establish relationships with? How many big city councils? You know, particularly, obviously, in the metro area, that would be the biggest concern. How many city councils would you have to establish a rapport or relationship with? It's just impossible. I mean, think about this. Cook County, which is up in the northeast corner of Minneapolis. Say you live in Cook County and you want to take a drive down to visit family, say in Albert Lea. So you start out Cook County, very gun-friendly area of the state, and you hop on Highway 35, and you got to go through St. Paul. Well, God forbid, you're a law-abiding citizen in your home county, Cook County, but 2 or 3 hours later, when you get to St. Paul, you're driving down Highway 35, and you get a flat tire, and you're carrying a concealed firearm, which you're legally allowed to do in Cook County. All of a sudden, in Ramsey County, not so much. Or, like I said, if you stop it to get gasoline and the wind blows your jacket up and it happens to show your concealed firearm, you're normally a very law-abiding citizen, never even taking your gun out of your holster except to clean it or put it away for safe storage. And all of a sudden, you're a criminal. I mean, that is how insane this is. So this idea that somehow this legislative session wasn't going to be as intensive, my God, this is an attempt to just flat out gut the Constitution. Progressives do not care about your right to keep and bear arms. They don't. And this legislation is proof of it. And I appreciate Rob Doerr, again, Senior Vice President, Government Affairs, Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus. He sent a text. There's a House Public Safety Committee meeting that's going to go over this bill. It's going to be taking place this Tuesday, March 10th, and Rob clarified the time for me, 10:30 a.m. So Tuesday, March 10th, 10:30 a.m., the Public Safety Committee is going to be taking up this bill, House File 3672. Again, it's at the State Office Building, second floor of the State Office Building. If I know anything about my fellow gun owners, they're some of the most passionate and well-organized and engaged citizens when it comes to specific pieces of legislation impacting their rights. So I guarantee if there's an opportunity to get there and pack the hearing, we're going to do it. So I appreciate Rob reaching out. So, yeah, this Tuesday, March 10th at 10:30 a.m., second floor of the State Office Building, House File 3672. It's going to be brought forth in the Public Safety Committee hearing. So, wow, this is important. I mean, for all of the crazy stuff that the progs have tried to pass in undermining your gun rights, whether it's the red flag laws or on transfers, what have you, even the assault weapons ban. Rob argued yesterday that this by far is the most egregious of all of them. So when Rob says that, that definitely gets my attention. So definitely follow Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus anywhere you can on social media to stay well informed. And like I say, this notification came to me on my phone yesterday when or I think Friday when Rob put forth his video. So, yeah, it's definitely a big time issue. And this idea that you could be living in Anoka County where I live, which again, friendly to the law abiding gun owner, and in less than an hour later, you can be considered a criminal by driving down through Ramsey County because you have a concealed firearm. That just is absolutely mind boggling to me. So we'll definitely keep an eye on this this coming week. That is for sure. And if there are any updates over the weekend, I'm sure Mitch will be touching on this on his show this weekend as well. 651-289-4488. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NARN show. Or check out our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page where we have a live stream of the broadcast up and running. Brad Carlson, the closer, back in mere moments. Go nowhere.
You can listen to AM 1280 The Patriot on all Amazon Echo devices. Simply ask Alexa to play The Patriot Minneapolis, and you'll hear your favorite hosts.
This is Dennis Prager, and thanks for listening to me on your Alexa device.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information by dialing 800-727-9105. If you have unfiled tax returns or cannot afford to pay your personal or business back taxes, you can now get the help you need. One simple phone call can resolve your tax problem and save you thousands of dollars. To see if you qualify and to get this important free information, call 800-727-9105. 800-727-9105. 800-727-9105.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Quit smoking now with this exclusive half-price offer from The Mission and Breathe, freedom from nicotine. Get one program for $250, that's half price. Breathe is the faster, easier, more effective way to quit smoking and start saving. There are a limited number of these half-off deals available. That's $250 for one program from The Mission and Breathe Laser Therapy. You can quit smoking in just 60 minutes this week. Call The Mission at 651-405-8800.
You listen every day.
I never miss it.
So now it's time for you to join the conversation.
Who, me?
Like AM 1280 The Patriot on Facebook and share your thoughts with like-minded conservatives. You can also enter to win prizes, learn about upcoming events, and more.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning in. I'm here to take your calls, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag NARN Show for comments or questions. And don't forget the live stream at our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page. And yeah, Brent was weighing in on our last topic about the legislature looking to eliminate the state's preemption and allow local jurisdictions like county boards and city councils to make their own gun ordinances. Brent makes the comment, remember that the city of St. Paul passed a safe storage ordinance paying no attention to state preemption. There hasn't been an opportunity to sue them yet. And Brent makes an excellent point, and I want to bounce off that real quick. Yeah, they could, and these cities and counties may have an opportunity to pass laws that will totally flout the Constitution, fly in the face of the Second Amendment to the Constitution. But until there's damages shown to a law-abiding gun owner, there can't really be, I don't know if there can even be a lawsuit brought forth. That's the thing. Again, I'm no legal beagle, so I may be talking out of turn here. But yeah, Brent's exactly right. Some of these jurisdictions, they've just gone rogue and said, yeah, what are you going to do? Sue us? Bring it on. Yeah. Because they just, they figure, you know, and they may ultimately win, but at least we bankrupt our opponents, or, you know, they spend all these resources diverted, focus on this attention and away from other things. So I appreciate the comments, Brent. And then also our friend Wild Wilson is checking in, saying hello too on the live stream. So appreciate you gentlemen checking us out. Thank you very much. We want to talk about another story in particular. Alpha News had this regarding another bill, House File 4273, a bill that would prohibit public and charter schools from banning any displays of rainbow flags that teachers or staff post in classrooms is headed to the House floor. But one Republican lawmaker alleged during a hearing Tuesday that the legislation, House File 4273, didn't receive a proper vetting by an additional committee, which is generally afforded to the newly introduced legislation that touches more than one area of government. On Tuesday, the House State and Local Government Committee voted on a divided voice vote to refer the legislation to the General Register. That was after about 20 minutes of public testimony from three LGBTQ advocacy organizations and one first grade teacher who support the bill, and then a brief discussion among legislators that devoted into an argument between a DFL committee chair and Republican legislator over committee procedure on the legislation. Representative Lee Finke is the chief author of the bill that would prohibit towns, home rule, charter, and statutory cities, counties, school districts, and any other political subdivision of the state from removing or banning the display of items containing a rainbow. So, Dylan, if we have cut number one ready, here was a lady, I didn't get her name, but she did give her pronouns, preferred pronouns, in the beginning of her testimony, speaking on behalf of this bill. This is cut number one.
I use she, her pronouns, and I've been a first grade teacher for 16 years. I'm here in support of this bill to make rainbow flag bans prohibited. What does a rainbow flag mean to my students, my classroom? Here are some words from my first grade babies. It means my teacher will stand up for me. It looks like the flags at my house, so I feel home. It means we all are here together. My students feel the importance of windows and mirrors. I want every child, family, and staff member to have a clear visual of inclusion and safety in the community I build. We know students, families, and staff members need to feel safe in order to learn, thrive, and continue to share their talents with us. My rainbow flag stands for welcoming spaces, trust, resilience, compassion, joy, collaboration, and community without judgment. And don't we all want that for all kids? I will always have agency to represent all communities in my classroom. It's important my students see their own and their family's identities in my space, whether that includes our mural of Black excellence, our land acknowledgement written with some of our Native families, or my rainbow flag stating you are loved. My students, especially those whose stories are often left out, must feel represented and important, and it seems absurd that someone could take away that humanity from my students.
Okay, we'll stop right there. So, a religion is defined as a specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of person or sects, S-E-C-T-S. I mean, this sounds like little more than basically a cult, a religion. And why are sixth graders, or not sixth graders, six-year-olds, first graders, who are ages 6 and 7, why is this relevant in the classroom? I mean, is a flag going to magically take away how kids interact with each other? They're 6 and 7 year olds. They shouldn't be subjected to this at such a young age. This is absolute insanity to me. I mean, okay, fine. I would dare say there are probably as many, if not more, kids whose family are of the Christian faith. So can we hang up a mural of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What about kids of the Jewish faith? There's probably no more oppressed, group of people who feel threatened in this day and age than people of the Jewish faith. So you're going to hang up a flag with a Star of David on it? How would that go over? Would it make the kids feel safe? I mean, if that's your argument, don't we want to make Christian and Jewish kids feel safe, particularly kids of the Jewish faith? The way they're being targeted in this day and age? So, again, another one to keep an eye upon. And we're almost out of time. I didn't hear the music to go down the last 30 seconds. So Brad Carlson, the closer, back with another segment on the broadcast. 651-289-4488. That is the number to call.
Did you know you were kicking in your mommy's tummy before you were born?
We were?
Yep. I just learned at school that babies move and kick before they're even born.
No wonder we're so good at soccer.
That's right, kids. A preborn baby is moving about and even kicking just 14 weeks from conception. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of information and alternatives to abortion, or you'd like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773, 1-800-366-7773, or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate, and de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, don't argue, don't resist, don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. 651-289-4488. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. And don't forget our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page. Feel free to look us up there. Give us a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. Yeah, we got the live stream. It is still up and running. So Wild, Brent, and my good friend Terry, all checking in on the comment section of the live stream on our Facebook page. Thank you, gents, for your support. We appreciate it. I want to kind of transition to some national news now. I don't know, did everybody get an opportunity to vote Super Tuesday? The presidential primary, this was the first ever presidential primary in the state of Minnesota. Obviously, it wasn't of much consequence. the sitting president is a Democrat, so obviously the Democrats are going to vote for Joe Biden, although I did find it interesting that 20% of the DFL vote went to uncommitted. So I don't know what that means. Well, I know what it means, literally, that they're not committing to any candidate. That's probably the staunch anti-Israeli crowd, because the president has shown he showed pretty strong support for Israel at first, but he's kind of walked that back a little bit because a lot of his anti-Israel caucus is fleeing from him. So he's been more critical of Israel now as a result, to try to bring them back into the fold. And then, of course, the Republican primary, Donald Trump was pretty much, he'd won every state leading up to Super Tuesday and then won the vast majority of them on Super Tuesday, resulting in Nikki Haley, the last Republican candidate standing, to drop out. So God help us, we're in for another Trump-Biden matchup, which the vast majority of this country does not want, yet somehow is being foisted upon us. So there you have it. I did get a chance to vote. I did not vote for Trump. I made a strong statement. I'm not voting for Trump for anything ever again. But I'm in Minnesota, so my vote really doesn't mean anything from the presidential standpoint. Let's just be honest about it. So what I did was merely a symbolic gesture. But I did have the opportunity to vote. And obviously part of Super Tuesday and any election cycle is exit polling, getting an idea of voters' top concerns and demographics and whatever else. And here's how you know that Joe Biden is in trouble. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the State of the Union later on. Basically, that was nothing more than a campaign speech where he tried to reassure the Democrat base, the far left Democrat base, that he is still has their concerns in mind. Screw the independents, you know, they don't really matter. That was all about locking in the Democrat base, and a lot of Democrats feel he may have done that. But is that going to be enough to win in the general? That's far from a certainty. Well, one of the exit polls, particularly out of Virginia, that was one of the states voting, was that people's top concern, the voters' top concern, was illegal immigration. And as it should be, there's been millions that have poured across the border, the southern border, since Joe Biden became president. And a lot of that is due in large part to his reversing a lot of the executive orders that then-President Trump put in place to ensure border security. And a lot of these illegal immigrants have been going to sanctuary states and sanctuary cities where a lot of these officials were virtue signaling, saying all are welcome here. And once they show up there, it was more than they bargained for. The infrastructure, I mean, when New York City's infrastructure is getting overloaded, how in the Sam hell do you expect these border towns to handle the influx of illegal immigrants? Okay. And obviously, some high profile crimes, horrific crimes that have been committed by these people who shouldn't have been in the country in the first place, that's on people's radar too. So if you want to know how out of touch Biden supporters are with the concerns of regular people, of independent voters, what have you, voters that the Biden camp can ill afford to whiz away. This is cut number three. This is MSNBC, former White House press secretary and now MSNBC reporter Jen Psaki, who made a very seamless transition from White House press secretary to MSNBC shill. It's amazing how that happens. So Jen Psaki, Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow, all doing Super Tuesday coverage. This is cut number three. Listen to how they are dismissive of these exit polls that came out of the state of Virginia.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. That's very, very contested
but you're
area.
Thinking,
build a wall.
Like, what?
I mean, did you hear the contempt and the dismissiveness and the condescension? Joe Biden can ill afford to bleed any more support. He's been bleeding support with Hispanics. I mean, that's just a documented fact. And Trump has been bleeding support with independents. I mean, the independents have been fleeing from Trump, you know, ever since 2018. Anybody that had the stink of Trump since the 2018 midterms and then the 2020 presidential election, 2022 midterms, they've been fleeing Trump. Okay? And these are the concerns among independent voters. Immigration, because they see what happens in these major cities when these immigrants come to stay there. So, you know, yeah, Virginia, I get it. It's not on the southern border, but you do realize, Rachel, unless you have your head in the sand or you're too busy clenching your jaw to hear the actual news, that illegal immigrants are literally all over the country, all over the country, not just restricted to the southern states. And again, I say when major cities like Chicago and New York City are feeling overloaded and their infrastructure is being taxed because of the influx of these individuals, that's a problem. And dismissing their concerns, being condescending about their concerns, independent voters are going to have a tough decision to make because they don't like Trump. That's been pretty obvious the last few election cycles. But whether they like it or not, Trump is a couple years removed from the White House now, and it's amazing how some are kind of looking at him as the candidate to renormalize everything. Joe Biden was that candidate in 2020 because of the chaos of the Trump administration. Now you've got the chaos of the Biden administration. Now Trump is suddenly being looked at by some, not by me, but by some, as the candidate to normalize the situation. I mean, for all this talk about never Trump Republicans and Democrats saying that Trump shatters all norms, there may be enough voters that actually look at him as a return to norms. Again, I agree that they're probably going to be sorely disappointed, but Joe Biden isn't assuaging those concerns either. Hey, speaking of Joe Biden, I expected him to take like a 72-hour slumber after he yelled at people for a couple hours straight at the State of the Union Thursday night. I mean, they hepped him up on something, and he channeled Abe Simpson, you know, the old man yelling at cloud. And I expected him after that to basically need a 72-hour slumber. Well, he emerged within 24 to 48 hours to sit down. I believe it was with Jonathan Capehart at MSNBC. I don't recall. It doesn't really matter. But one of the high-profile flubs that President Biden committed during the State of the Union address is he referred to murdered college student Laken Riley. You remember the young lady who was killed by an illegal immigrant in the University of Georgia campus. Laken Riley was her name. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, congresswoman out of Georgia, gave Joe Biden a button with her picture on it prior to the State of the Union and said, say her name, say her name, Laken Riley, say her name. And Joe Biden said, held up the button with her name on it and said, this is Lincoln Riley, who was murdered by an illegal immigrant. Lincoln Riley is the head coach of the University of Southern California Trojans. Okay. Different person altogether. But well, Dylan, we have this ready. Cut number four. So Joe Biden was asked about talking about Lincoln Riley and say about his statement that Lincoln Riley, not Lake, he called her Lincoln by mistake. Lincoln Riley, who was killed by an illegal immigrant. He was asked to weigh in on this. Cut number four.
I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber. You saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was priceless. You feigned shock at seeing her. But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lincoln Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they
even
built the country. The reason our economy is growing.
No, we have to
control the border and more orderly flow. But
you're not.
I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
I noticed.
So I don't know, maybe, and again, that was just a sound clip. Was he asked if he regretted butchering a murdered young lady's name? I mean, again, I haven't seen the full interview. Maybe he was. In fairness, maybe he was, because I just took a sound clip there. But he was asked if he was regretful about calling this person illegal. And I get so sick of that chanting, oh, no human being is illegal. No, but human beings commit illegal acts, including murder, and just coming across the border, unauthorized, undocumented, is illegal. And if he wants to play these symbolic games, Trump is calling these people vermin. Well, you know what? There are going to be voters out there saying Trump's policies at least kept the border somewhat under control. And again, are there going to be enough people that say, well, at least the border was under control? And this idea that the people coming across now are building this economy? I mean, whatever he took on Thursday night, B12 shot or whatever, is clearly worn off by now. These people have not built the economy. That's just absolutely insane. Yeah, immigrants have made this country a lot of what it was. Okay, I mean, both sets of my great grandparents, first generation Americans. I have a deep, deep, deep appreciation for immigrants. Absolutely, but when you have those coming across that aren't even being vetted, or are given an asylum claim, say, okay, you got to show up at this court date, and they don't even show up, and there's really no attempt to find them. I mean, that's concerning, and that's why it's an issue with people. And yet, he's worried about treating these people with disrespect, even those who commit murder, even those who commit crimes. This person who allegedly killed Lake and Riley had already been charged with crimes elsewhere, I think in New York City, but was let go. But we're not supposed to treat that person with disrespect, huh, Mr. President? That's where your priority lies? Not butchering the name of a murdered young woman who should still be with us? I guess we'll just shrug that off. So, we're only 2.5 months into 2024, and I've never wanted a year to be over with more than this one, because we got to wait all the way to November to decide who is going to be elected. So there you have it. That was President Biden appearing on MSNBC. John Gabriel, who's going to be on with us in the first two segments of the 2 o'clock hour, we'll talk, get a little bit more in depth about what went on at the State of the Union this past Thursday. I've watched a recap of it. Every State of the Union, I don't care what president it is, it's just kind of a fruitless exercise. They're going to give their own spin on what the State of the Union is. But Biden didn't even do that. He just basically used it as a campaign event. That was it, to shore up his Democrat base. And the Democrats, got excited because they felt, oh, he accomplished that. Oh, he definitely accomplished that. Okay, yeah, but there's 8 months till Election Day. A lot's going to happen between now and then. This is all going to be forgotten. And by the way, this is just kind of an aside. Senator Katie Britt out of Alabama, God love her, grateful that she is a powerful figure and has a high-profile role within the Republican Party. But I don't know who the PR person was, but putting a Republican woman in the kitchen to give the response to President Biden's State of the Union address, horrible optics. And whoever coached her to give her response like she was appearing in a commercial advocating for abused animals while Sarah McLachlan's In the Arms of Angels was playing in the background, I don't know who thought that was a good idea. But it didn't work. It didn't work. So, again, I guess the one silver lining is both the State of the Union address, the demagogic State of the Union address by President Biden, and the disastrous response by Alabama Senator Katie Britt will be forgotten in short order. Brad Carlson, the closer, back with one final segment this hour, 651-289-4488. That is the number to call. Back in mere moment. Go nowhere.
We'll be right back.
Wake up with the Patriots Daybreak Insider. Today's top news stories from a conservative viewpoint. Sign up at am1280thepatriot.com by using the keyword subscribe. That's subscribe at am1280thepatriot.com.
Whether enjoying beauty outdoors or from a room with a view and a fireplace, it's easy to create winter magic in Minnesota. Spend the day trekking through the freshly fallen snow or get in your steps while enjoying some of the best shopping in the country. Either way, Minnesota's food scene keeps you properly fueled for the winter adventure at hand. Get our free monthly travel newsletter and plan your dream trip at exploreminnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota Tourism, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Retirement doesn't have to be complicated. Are you sick of all the fancy charts and investment mumbo-jumbo thrown at you to justify the Wall Street fees you're being charged? It's not the size of your nest egg that matters, but rather the income it can produce. Hi, I'm Mitch Lyons, best-selling author and star in a brand new Hollywood documentary called The Retirement Deception. In this film, we traveled over 20,000 miles interviewing real Americans who have retired successfully with a great lifestyle and peace of mind. They share their stories on how they get more retirement income with the same dollar saved, and the money is never at risk if the market crashes. That's right. If the market crashes 30%, you lose nothing. Even the super wealthy are shifting money into this new strategy because it increases their retirement income or can allow them to stop working years sooner. So if you are over 50 and want a bigger, better, stress-free retirement, call today to speak to a specialist and get a free copy of this brand new movie, The Retirement Deception. Call 888-365-1409. This is a $30 value, but when you call today, you get it completely free. So don't delay. Call right now, 888-365-1409. That's 888-365-1409.
There are no words to describe it. The isolation. The boredom. The loneliness. If you're wondering where your teenage son or daughter's spirit went, you're hardly alone. The past year has been devastating, especially for them. But here's the good news. They might just find it again, playing high school sports. Workouts that stimulate, teammates and coaches that care, the sense of belonging so many of us have been missing lately. That's what school sports are all about. The sense of achievement is real, and the camaraderie is hard to beat. Coping with uncertainty is difficult, but school sports can help the teenagers in your family start feeling like themselves again. Encourage them to give it a try. High school sports, it's so much more than a game.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
Turning on your favorite ministry or catching your favorite talk show. These are just a couple of reasons more than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio monthly. Visit dependonam.com to help keep AM radio in vehicles for the next generation.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. It's me, Brad Carlson. One final segment this hour. Again, 651-289-4488 is the number to call. Feel free to weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. And we do have the Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page up and running with our live stream. So, yeah, check us out there. I've gotten quite a few comments on our live stream today. So we appreciate everyone who has checked in and a number of viewers who have checked in. We appreciate the time, as always. So recently on Joe Rogan's podcast, he had on as a guest Riley Gaines, who, of course, was the collegiate swimmer who finished runner-up to Leah Thomas, who is the trans woman. And it's a photograph that went viral. Leah Thomas, this trans woman, won these swimming events and has the medal around her neck and has the one-piece bathing suit with a bulge, basically. This is a biological man who got to swim amongst women. And Riley Gaines stepped forward and basically called out how unjust this is to have a biological male competing against women in a sport like swimming, where a biological male who is lucky to finish top 25, top 30, whatever Leah Thomas finished when she was swimming as a man, but can easily finish in the top two or three or even win a lot of these women's events. And kudos to Riley Gaines. She's faced death threats. She's faced harassment, whatever.
but she's not staying silent. And she went on probably the most listened to podcast of all podcasts, the Joe Rogan Experience, to talk about this. And she had a conversation with Joe Rogan. There was a clip that was posted out there of dialogue between her and Joe Rogan. And I'm going to focus specifically on the things that Joe Rogan says. And I'll come back with my commentary when we have an opportunity. So, Dylan, if we have a cut number two ready, this is Joe Rogan and Riley Gaines in their recent conversation on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Define this word woman. Here in 2024, we have a sitting Supreme Court justice who can't even answer what a woman is because she claims she's not a biologist. Well, guess what? I'm not a veterinarian, but I know what a dog is. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's requiring a lot more pushback than most people are willing to do because the activists on the side of promoting this nonsense are very loud and they've made it their entire identity to get this across. And they also connect themselves to the idea of this, air quotes, progress. And so they're like vehemently opposed to any pushback against this. But everyone on the side that's like, this is crazy. Most of those people have jobs and families and obligations, and they're busy. And they do not have time to sit at a council meeting with these lunatics, have them scream into microphones, you're committing transgenocide. And you're like, oh, okay. What is this? How did this get started? It's like a zombie disease that made its way across the entire country. And it was like, oh, who got bit first? Can we figure out what the fuck happened here? How is it possible that anyone with children, anyone who's a father who has daughters, is okay with this? How is that possible? This is nonsense.
Yeah, so we only have about a minute left, but I do want to insert my own commentary in there. And Joe Rogan's exactly right. Progressivism is basically its own religion. I mean, this is what these are the things these people focus on, is their progressivism, their religion. And he's exactly right. People are more involved in their families and their own faith and their church and their kids' activities, and they don't have the time to do this. Or if they maybe sacrifice time with family and everything else to dedicate time to combat this lunacy, as Joe Rogan says, they're threatened. They're shouted down. They're made to feel subhuman when they're bringing forth a very empirically scientific fact about male and female biology. It's just absolutely insane. So he's exactly right. And by the way, those professional male athletes who, you know, like to tout themselves as being girl dads, where are their voices in this? This would go a long way to progressing this discussion and shutting down this lunacy if a lot of these high-profile athletes who have girl dad in their bio would speak up. Brad Carlson back with another hour. Go nowhere.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800, the number 4, relief, relieffactor.com.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
All of us love sports, but not all sports are created equal. College sports have big budgets, dedicated alumni networks, and corporate sponsorships. Professional sports have even deeper pockets. Millionaire owners, lucrative TV and radio deals, and merchandise sales. High school sports have you. Everyone agrees high school sports give us plenty of reasons to cheer. And now's a great time for us to give back. Supporting your hometown high school won't cost you much, but it will go a long way to ensuring the games we love the most are here to stay. Minnesota high school sports. They're good for our kids, good for our community, and best of all, they're good for you.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
AM 1280, the Patriot.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.